The scripture reading is the last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. If you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I'll just read the two verses. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Well, earlier I was showing you all a picture of a painting that was discovered last week in Europe, depicting Jewish ritual murder. Now, this is really quite a profound discovery. This particular painting was commissioned by Alexander III, the Russian Tsar, in a period around 1882 to 1887. And it just goes to show that art is not just a still life of flowers or a landscape. Sometimes it takes on a significant portrayal of history itself. And what this painting records from history was the blood libel accusation directed against a group of Jews who murdered a 14-year-old white girl during that time period. It was a very famous incident, and it was captured in this painting. Now, you know that since its discovery last week, it's causing all kinds of commotion, especially in the Jewish community, because this is the last thing they need right now with the accusation of Jewish ritual murder, which I talked about last time I was behind the pulpit. So it goes to show, I'm not just making this stuff up. This actually happened, and we have a significant, and it's a masterfully painted piece of art. I would conjecture that it's a large size piece, just looking from the composition, and masterfully executed with light and shadow. So what's going to happen as a result of this, I'm sure that they're going to try and not only bury this painting, but bury the reputation of the artist himself. And as an artist myself, because of the stand I take, being in the Christian identity movement, I fear that my own artwork will not receive the legacy as long as Jews are in power or control. Well, today I'm going to talk about lies. And we've been lied to for a very long time, from generation to generation, by a group of people called Jews. And part of their Jewish character is to proficiently make false accusations, to slander and smear. Calumny is their trademark, which means they will lie for personal gain. When Jesus denounced the Pharisees in a racial context, he was saying they were of the father of their devil, or congenital liars. They inherited the propensity to not tell the truth. The big lie of Nimrod, the mongrel king of Babylon, was that he declared himself God. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I was Nimrod, the god of creation. Here we have a classic example and contrast between the truth and lies. Jews, or those who carry the tradition of false accusation from ancient Babylon, their book is called the Babylonian Talmud, cannot believe Jesus because he speaks the truth. He who is of God hears the words of God. And for this reason, you, meaning you Jews, do not hear because you are not of God. Now, Scripture identifies those who slander the followers of Christ as the devil, whether it's the pagan world in general or Jews in particular. What evil genius regarding Jews devises a smokescreen of lies to transfer guilt to someone or something else? Jewish consciousness subsists as a con artist thrives on the gullibility of man. Jesus deprogrammed the grip that superstitions had on the minds of people, and for that, the Lord was accused of being possessed by demons. More superstitious-styled slander. They, of course, lied and could only resort to the psychological warfare of illusions. Christ was the polar opposite of deception. When Christ rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 15:11, he was saying that the lies and deceit were much greater sins than not washing your hands before eating. It is this very same character defect which modern Jews maintain. Therefore, the only diablos in the world of reality are Jews and those who believe their lies. It would not be far-fetched to suggest that Jews lie about themselves. A self-imposed deification and demonization for the benefit of their impressionable victims. A clever dialectic to create confusion. With a little help from Jewish fables, they're no longer just mixed blood criminals, but now have the supernatural blood of God's fiercest fallen angel flowing in their veins. People either believe Jews are the apple of God's eye or Masonic Luciferians. Well, let me make it simple for you. They're just born liars from cradle to grave. I have a book in my library written by a Jew. Seriously written, yet profusely ludicrous, called, what's it say? The Lost Tribes from Outer Space, which talks about why YHWH was cloned and gave birth to the test tube Jew. In the preface, the author states that it is not only his intent to give anti-Semitism any support whatsoever, his only purpose is to solve the enigmas of the Bible and history in appreciation of Jews who are at the center of the enigma. How about that? 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12 addresses the contrast between believing the truth and believing a lie. The truth is simply stated, let no man deceive you by any means. The word Satan can be anybody who is an adversary, as William Fink renders the word often in his New Testament translation. Verse 4 explains any as those who oppose and exalt themselves above God. Well, Jews certainly see themselves superior to Jesus Christ and are collectively satanic in their propensity to lie. Their lawlessness unites them as one people, and their wickedness will be revealed in what's called the mystery of iniquity, being understood as man deifying himself. And the Talmud says the Messiah is the Jewish people themselves. If man thinks he's God, his reality is deception. And he can lie thinking it's the truth. Because of the fact that Jews have no desire to love God, they are condemned by God for all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Their deceit in hindering the truth will be taken out of the way. They have lied about the Bible and have lied about themselves. They are the opposite of God's chosen people. The truth of the matter is that Jews don't want people discerning the reality of what liars they are and how their lies affect the world. It is the Jew and those who would believe the Jew who symbolize the adversaries of God. It can be shown from Scripture that the mission of Christ was to destroy the devil, 1 John 3:8. That the devil had the power of death, Hebrews 2:14. But Christ came to destroy sin, Hebrews 9:26. And sin was the original cause of death, Romans 6:23. So from this comparative analogy, the devil is analogous sometimes to sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Lying is a sin. Did not Christ come to deliver us from our sins? Christianity is the promise of salvation from lawlessness. Judaism is the religion of lawlessness and the exoneration of the sin nature. It is the quintessential synagogue of God's enemies, whereby we are admonished not to follow after Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. In that synagogue transpires one of the most amazing and disgusting liturgies in the name of religion that most Christians are just blissfully oblivious to. It's called the Kal Nidre. It's popularly regarded by Jews as the most holy and solemn occasion of the Jewish year, on the eve of Yom Kippur, attended even by great numbers of Jews who are otherwise far from religion. The Kal Nidre is a chanting prayer recited several times and also sung by the cantor, who is a Jewish singer, accompanied with a violin sometimes, by which all vows made in the following year are declared in advance to be null and void. It goes like this, and I'm not going to sing it, and we don't have a violin accompanying us here, So, quote, all vows, obligations, oaths, or anathemas, pledges of all names, which we have vowed, sworn, devoted, or bound ourselves to, from this day of atonement until the next day of atonement, whose arrival we hope for in happiness, we repent aforementioned, all of them. They shall all be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, void, and made of no effect. They shall not be binding, nor have any power. The vows shall not be reckoned as vows. The obligations shall not be obligatory, nor the oaths considered as oaths, end quote. How about that? I don't think that's the kind of repenting Jesus was thinking of. So why should we believe those who call themselves Messianic Jews? Jews can't be Christians when they believe they are the Messiah. They can't be anything but liars. Can any people or person with this kind of mentality be trusted? It's this kind of mindset that gives cause for normal, decent people to hate Jews down through the centuries. Has this license to lie, which is glorified in a holy ritual every year, ever been renounced by any Jewish group? Why should vows be annulled at all by the Jews? Why not just lie and go about their crimes? Well, obviously, it goes back to Babylon and their need to do things in the name of religion. The Kol Nidre is kind of a holy advance notice, a rabbinical legalism given behind closed doors that no promise whatsoever shall be binding. And above and beyond that is not to be trusted because it was violated before it was ever made. A Christian's word is expected to be as good as his bond. However, a Jew makes provision to drop below that level of morality. In fact, within the framework of the Zionist-influenced U.S. government, there is a foreign and domestic policy to dishonor any agreement when it becomes disadvantageous to Jews. Now, this has been typified in many broken treaties as the Kol Nidre mentality anticipates futuristic perspective of deliberate deceptions. So can you see how this obviates any honest investigation into any conspiracies that don't pass the smell test? How can any Jewish judge, doctor, teacher, or any other Jew in positions of power be trusted whose practices are based on fraud? How can justice prevail in any Christian society when there's a cross-current system of religious law that justifies perjury? The corrupt courtrooms of America are forcing the issue that no man can serve two masters. At this late date, we Christians can begin to take charge of our lives and refuse to serve the Jew. This means not acquiescing to their compulsive pantheon of lies. Now, it's easy enough to prove the duplicity of Jews who change the truth of God into a lie. The word says, ye shall not lie. God hates a false witness that speaketh lies. Lying lips are an abomination. Whereas, the Talmud says, a Jew may lie and perjure to condemn a Christian. The name of God is not profaned when lying to Christians. Or how about this one? Jews must always try to deceive Christians. Or, it is not permitted to imitate the customs of the Christians nor act like them. Or, you'll love this one, God rewards clever liars. Now, I have the Talmudic citations here, and they will be listed in the text on our website. Well, did you know that Superman comic books were created by Jews to counter the rise of those evil Nazis? Because everybody knows Hitler was the author of the big lie. The Jews needed a fictional hero because they didn't have the credibility in real life to be a hero themselves. Well, this is the truth of how Jews lie. Most educated Americans think they're sophisticated enough to distinguish between Jewish propaganda lies from the truth. Well, the Jews told us that Hitler said, tell people big lies often enough and they'll believe it. We've heard this propaganda a million times, right? What we haven't been told is what Hitler actually said in Mein Kampf. In fact, the opposite of what the Jews said was true. Far from advocating the use of the big lie, Hitler had warned his people that the Jews used this big lie technique and that the German people should be cautious in accepting the word of a Jew. It takes an extraordinary amount of gall and daring to blame somebody else of what you yourself are guilty of. The great mass of white Christians more easily fall victim to a big lie than to a little one, since we fudge in the little things, but would be ashamed of lies that were too big. Our people don't have what it takes to promote the enormity of falsehoods on a grand scale. But Jews are born and raised with a notorious effrontery and are thus the great masters of deceit. The sheer magnitude of their lies transcends the comprehension of what they make the most treacherous use of. Until the average Joe Sixpack experiences the Jew touching his life with adversity, he will not believe it. Say it ain't true, Jaime. Americans think the way they do and believe what they believe because they're the most lied to people on the planet. Who in their right mind thinks they're getting the truth after Jewish media masters twist, skew, and spin current events? Isn't that the point? If they receive not the love of the truth, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We need to get our minds right with God, not with Jews. We've been sold a bill of goods. Ask a school child or your neighbor, how many Americans or British or Frenchmen died in World War II. You'll get a deer in the headlights look. But ask them how many Jews died, and you'll get the magic number of 6 million from even the dullest of minds. What makes us so susceptible and accepting of the most absurd lies of the Jews is that we are programmed early in life to believe the premise that Jews are a poor, persecuted minority, and that the Jews are an especially holy people chosen of God. Well, this technique of deception, it automatically disarms our faculties of critical reasoning and garners immediate sympathy and reverence. It's wonderful humor for Jews when non-Jews are so easily fooled. Maybe that's why there are so many Jewish comedians. Despite the biblical admonition to prove all things, those Christians who have most fully assimilated this brainwashing face the moral dilemma of doubting what Jews tell them as somehow going against God. Anyone who is so conditioned to accept things without proof has misplaced their faith in God for the Jews and is at the mercy of their lies. It must be understood that Jews have always been parasites on a host nation. They do not honor their presence with honesty. If we do not fight against their lies, we should not be surprised at the dwindling national carcass of America, which they feed upon. After all, their whole predatory existence is based on one simple lie of great import, to wit, that they are a benevolent religious community, when in reality, they are a mongrelized breed of malevolent criminality. Jewish movies love to depict two-fanged bloodsuckers as an allegorical inside joke of them inflicting horror upon a mostly white audience. The real-life vampire leads a parade of lies, leaving a blood-stained trail of death and destruction. An honest appraisal of the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, the USS Liberty, and the horrendous attack of September 11, 2001, just to mention the most obvious, clearly indict Jewish treachery as an ongoing modus operandi. Can the motto of the Mossad be any more incriminating? It reads, "By way of deception, we shall wage war." As we continue our study of why we hate Jews, we will see how this third element of the big lie in Jewish behavior implements itself into the other 29 elements as well. If you are not yet convinced about the evil nature of Jewry, our next study looks at something that happens to everybody: getting ripped off. When a thief steals something, the victim feels a sense of being violated. I don't know too many people who enjoy having something belonging to them being taken from them. The God I believe in says it's a violation to take something that doesn't belong to you. Thou shalt not steal. Whereas, in contradistinction, the Jewish ethic or criminal code of the Talmud says, quote, all property of the other nations belong to the Jewish nation, which consequently is entitled to seize upon it without any scruples. An Orthodox Jew is not bound to observe principles of morality towards people of other tribes. He may act contrary to morality, if profitable to himself or to Jews in general, end quote. You believe it? Christian property belongs to the first Jew claiming it. That's in the Talmud also. Or how about this one? Keep any overpayment Christians make in error. Or, what a Jew steals from a Gentile, he may keep. Or, if a Jew finds an object lost by a Gentile, it does not have to be returned. Again, I have the salutation straight out of the Talmud. The Talmud teaches that non-Jews have no property rights. Their possessions are like unclaimed land in the desert. The Jewish code for stealing is milk the Gentiles, but don't get caught in such a way as to jeopardize Jewish interest. Jews do not preoccupy themselves with shoplifting bubblegum. What then do they want that doesn't belong to them? In a word, everything. All the tangible assets of the world. But if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. All of the evil that comprises this worldliness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which translates into motives to steal. That is greed, ambition, and desires. Like the big lie, which I just talked about, we have the big steal. If we have a religion of owning the world via institutionalized larceny, there can be no hope of redemption. According to the ancient laws of the God of Israel, which still apply today, restitution was a means for a thief to restore to his victim at least double what he stole. Whoever does not hearken unto the commandments of God shall be put to death. Joshua 1:18. Surely God's justice will not miss the robbery of the world by the children of the Babylonian Talmud. Indeed, judgment is to be executed upon the great whore of Babylon. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she had filled, fill to her double. Logic tells us that if the Jewish merchants of the earth have stolen most of the gold, silver, and precious stones, that it would be impossible for them to pay twice that amount in restitution. Moreover, it is not just the accumulation of precious metals, but the untold loss of life from the world's greediest of destroyers, a loss that can never be repaid. The mysterious truth unfolds in Revelation 18:24 with the practitioners of the Babylonian traditions found guilty of the blood of the prophets, of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. How could such a monumental indictment attach itself to any given people? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. The word Jews in this verse explicitly points to Judahites or kinsmen belonging to the tribe of Judah. The word Jew, as used today, is the prism through which identity theft radiates as an angel of light. How many Christians have been informed of these proud, self-admitted identity thieves? Jewish writer Dr. Oscar Levy brags, quote, "And are they not," meaning today's Jews, "the inventors of the chosen people myth?" End quote. The epic hypocrisy is candidly confessed in the tongue-in-cheek anomalous chapter entitled Identity Crisis in the 1980 Jewish Encyclopedia, which states, quote, "Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew," end quote. However, Talmudically speaking, in tongues of unrestricted lawyerese, it is politically and economically expedient to call the country that is being stolen from the indigenous peoples by the ancient name of Israel. The audacious claim to ownership of the name of Israel by Jews is merely that, the audacity of thieves. They never could have proceeded to confiscate the land of Palestine without first seizing the identity of the rightful heirs of the promises of God. Even more preposterous of the one step of Jewry impersonating the tribe of Judah is the giant leap of Ashkenazi Jews assuming the entire 12 tribes of Israel. Well, nothing could be more absurd than allowing the thief to steal with impunity. But how often do we hear of a burglar entering a home and being shot by the owner, only to be prosecuted by the Jewish justice in the courts of the Jew? Does the fact that so many law enforcement officers wear a six-pointed star for a badge give you a clue? The organized crime of Jewry within government is what Frederick Bastiat termed in his book, The Law, as legalized plunder. It's the anti-Christian philosophy of one group of people prospering at the expense of another. The annals of history bear witness to the truth of the unscrupulous Jewish practice of getting something for nothing. The Christian work ethic is alien to the Jew. This process of honest labor is the origin of property. Dishonestly consuming the fruits of someone else's labor is the origin of plunder. People are inclined to avoid pain. And since labor is basically pain, some people resort to stealing when it's easier than working. God's justice protects property and punishes theft. The Jewish criminal justice growth industry system leaves property unprotected and rewards the ethics of plunder. The stealing will only stop when the parasite has picked the meat from the bone or to be convinced that such activity is dangerous to its health. Jewish life in Germany prior to 1933 was an orgy of parasitic feastings upon the host nation. The plunder was checked with labor camps, which after the war were renamed death camps, concentration camps. Which begs the question, would Jews rather be caught dead than working? Ironically, the inscription over the gate to Camp Auschwitz, "Arbeit macht frei," means work will set you free. Following the war, the Jew thought this meant free reparations for as long as there is meat on the bone. We'll see later in this treatise how the Holocaust industry has blossomed and continues to plunder property based on the protocols of the spoils of war or legalized victimization. They can even get away with it for a while by demonizing any and all opposition. But you know, that's wearing very thin these days. And it will eventually fade and be replaced with raw tyranny if we do nothing to stop it. Now, we're not talking about petty carjackings. Jews are engaged in nation jackings. Elections are being stolen literally by vote scam. We are being robbed by the majority of Republican politicians that take the AIPAC bribe. Special interest groups, if they have the Jewish seal of approval, get millions of dollars in handouts from rampant corruption in government. In fact, our collective nose is being rubbed in all the glorified sin and corruption by Jews who specialize in glamorizing such things. I heard just last week that the government wants to teach sex education in kindergartens. Can you believe it? Our children's innocence has not been lost. It's been stolen by design. And subsequently, we are lost sheep, ripe for easy pickings, because we no longer have the family values of loving our own Christian ethics or hating the alien ethics of Judaism's strong and strange gods. Well, some people will not understand the intent of these messages and will misconstrue it as just another obsessive, dissident, malcontent venting his anger on the poor Jews. That is not my point. Although rape and pillage are symptoms in our society, we should look at cause just as much as effect. After all, who has given America to the robbers and the spoilers? The prophet Isaiah asked a similar question to our ancestors, as well as speaking to us today. He said, "Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient unto his laws." In other words, white people are going to get ripped off as long as they turn away from Jesus Christ for their deliverance. The spiritual apostasy, which abounds today, is a reflection of the failure to identify the causes which turn us away from God. Where is the true grit of white Christian men to stand up and say, let God be true and every man a liar. Why should you listen to the man who says, God will bless them that bless the Jew, when all you get is legalized plunder? Why is it so difficult for people to understand that if you bless the Jew, you will get cursed? We are being spoiled by those who, through their deceit, have convinced our people that it is not necessary to honor and obey the laws of God Almighty, but rather to conform to a world run by Jews. Each person must ask themselves, if they want to live in a world where the standard is thou shalt steal, or put in occult satanic terms of the Jewish Kabbalah, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. The cause of doing whatever you can get away with has a reciprocal effect of random victimization, degeneracy, and chaos. Whereas Christianity offers justice. That is, thou shalt not steal. And if you do, you're going to be punished accordingly. It brings law and order that the Jew can only mock because he cannot subsist in such an environment. There won't be any thieves in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Thieves and robbers, by nature, are usually violent by violating someone's person or property. Likewise, they are the greatest of hypocrites in not wanting themselves violated. No Christian should be surprised at the way Christ addressed these Pharisees, hypocrites, thieves, Jews. Jesus admonished his students that they must not call each other rabbi or master, because Christ alone is our teacher. The Lord said, woe to you, hypocrites, because you lock the kingdom of heaven in the face of mankind, while you yourselves neither enter nor allow those arriving to go in. A rabbi is an equal opportunity hypocrite, a Jekyll and Hyde for public and private personas, who will never admit the truth, lest he be exposed as the consummate liar he is. However, this generation of vipers, caution is superseded with the haughty arrogance of prostituting their faith for gain. A religion that deliberately debases itself for the love of mammon. An amoral hypocrisy is the essence of Jewish strategy. The weapon of choice to Judaize Christian theology, because wherever they go to make one proselyte, the convert, the Judeo-Christian, becomes twice the child of hell than the Jew. The Judeo-Christian is double-minded in support of Jewish dual citizenship and an accessory before and after the fact. The fact is, Jews steal, and they steal without the slightest compunction of remorse or wrongdoing. There's no excuse or reason for anybody who calls themselves Christian to hate the theft, but to love the thief. This is the religious hypocrisy that shall reap the damnation that it sows. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 19:2. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. The four major elements as to why we hate Jews have now cleared the path so that our people will not trip and fall when discussing the prevarications from our divine destiny and the future of Jews. I'm going to conclude the series next time on why we hate Jews and why Jews hate us. As one author has called it, an unbridgeable gulf with the subject of race mixing. It was just a bit too much to squeeze in today, and I went over time last time, so I'm going to make that the final part of this series. And race mixing really ties in to the aforementioned topics of Judaism, murder, lying, and stealing. But I will leave you with the hope of today's scripture reading that told us that we are blessed when we obey God's commandments, that we may have the right to the tree of life, and that we may enter the gates of the kingdom. And the murderers and the liars and the thieves will be left behind.